What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. I want to welcome to the program Mr. Phil Bell. He is the Director of External Affairs at FreedomWorks. FreedomWorks.org. Welcome, Mr. Bell. How are you?
I'm great. It is an awesome Friday, and I'm just looking forward to an awesome weekend. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Well, thanks for making time. I appreciate it. For folks who aren't aware, tell us what is FreedomWorks and what is the, I mean, I understand you would direct the external affairs as the Director of External Affairs, but what exactly does that mean at an organization like FreedomWorks?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, FreedomWorks is the largest center-right grassroots organization. So there's a lot of groups on the right, such as your Heritage Foundation and Competitive Enterprise Institute and so on, Cato. A lot of them focus very much on developing the message that we all have. So free markets, individual liberty, limited government. FreedomWorks focuses on taking all of that great information and spreading the word and educating people on how to do it. So it's one thing for me to go out and talk about these issues, and it can be helpful, but it's even better when everyday Americans who are being affected by a lot of the negative things that government is doing, and then positive things when government gets out of the way, it's better when they have the ability to do it, and that's what we focus on.
So I want to I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, as far as my job, I do whatever I can to not get fired. That's what
that's a good job description. I have found that doesn't work so well in radio. So I want to get to the Tax Relief for Families and Workers Act. But do you have any, because we've been talking about the State of the Union address, do you have any thoughts on that? Did you watch it at all? Do you care to comment at all? I know I'm kind of throwing this at you, but I figure, you know, everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, no problem. I absolutely did watch it. It was such an odd and disappointing speech that I'm surprised that the folks in the White House and the president got together and decided, you know, we'll do this. One of the big things that's noteworthy, almost every State of the Union address starts with the president saying the State of the Union is strong. It's a great reminder of what we have and what we've worked for and that our country's in good shape. This one didn't start that way. And then after that, when you get into the point where the leader of the free world is complaining about fewer chips in a bag, that kind of tells me that we're going in the absolute wrong direction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these are the big issues of our day, you know. How many potato chips are in the bag? How big is a Snickers bar, right? This is the stuff that moves people to vote, I think.
Well, I'm actually surprised because I remember years ago, a lot of people on that side of the aisle were saying that everything needed to be smaller, right?
Mm-hmm.
The big gulps, they wanted to tax big gulps and tell you that you couldn't eat as much food as you wanted to. So isn't this actually going in the direction, or is that circa 2000 whenever they were winning elections?
Well, I think you're laboring under a delusion that principles are supposed to remain static over time and not supposed to just change based on the necessity of the argument at hand, you know? I am afflicted with the same delusion. So it's a consistent application of standards. Well, let me ask you about the this House Resolution 7024, the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act, the TRAFWA, or as I call it, the TRAFWA. What is this bill?
So this is taking a lot of the provisions of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which we all know passed when President Trump was there. I had people like Steve Moore, who's an economist here at FreedomWorks, working on that. Larry Kudlow, a lot of really strong, good free market voices, and it's either extending or improving them. So one good example, indexing the child tax credit, which is currently $2,000, indexing that to inflation. Now, we've all seen what's happened over the past few years where inflation has gone out of hand. Well, that means a lot of parents, whether we're talking about younger children or older children, they're having to spend more on everything that goes along with helping the little ones. And so indexing to inflation means that in years when it gets better, that they will have more ability or the ability to save a little bit on their taxes so they can help raise their kids. Then in years when it goes down, that's still going to be beneficial because it'll mean there's more money coming to them directly from their employers. So that is one of the things that I think is terrific. And for those of us on the right, this is a great chance to go out and claim that mantle that we should have always had as being the party of families.
What is the one-year income look back?
The one-year income look back. So this is designed, you can actually adjust your taxes by looking back for 1 year. So usually look back provisions, when you when they get applied or when they're created, and usually created by the other side of the aisle, it's designed to look back so they can figure out a way to raise your taxes. Hmm. This is a way to look back and find ways to lower them. So that's one of the other positive things that are coming out of this. But the thing I really want to focus on is the R&D tax credit. Now, this is something, you're talking about small business expensing and the like. This is something, these two provisions are so important because of where we are today as a country. Look at all the conversations going on about how chips are being made in foreign countries and manufacturing has gone away and so on. Well, the first step to any of that changing is the ability of companies to develop new products and do the research it takes to create them. So having that credit, expanding it, improving it, and improving expensing is something that's really going to give businesses, small and large, the ability to compete much more on a world stage.
Yeah. So the bill or the resolution passed the House 353-70. It's now waiting in the Senate. But in going, I looked through the votes against, and it's sort of an odd coalition. You got a lot of Freedom Caucus members. You've got Congressman Dan Bishop, who's our local congressman here in Charlotte area. We've got Ralph Norman just across the border in South Carolina, local congressman. Jeff Duncan as well, Matt Gaetz. So you got a lot of these Freedom Caucus conservative members. But then you also got, like, the Squad is in there. Cori Bush, Hank Johnson is in there. But Chip Roy, along with Rashida Tlaib and Maxine Waters. So what was the opposition coalition formed around?
Well, this is one of those things where you'll have people opposing something for different reasons, and then the result ends up being the same. A lot of the folks in those Freedom Caucus people you named, I'm a big fan of all of them. I think they're doing a great job. They have been looking for something that is more aggressive, and I certainly understand where they're coming from, because one of the things I consistently say is that we have to push for the maximum of what we want, because if we don't do that, if we try to shoot too low, we're going to get hit. However, reason why that's not the best advice in this situation is because we have a bipartisan, one of the few, bipartisan coalition in at least one house of the Congress that is willing to pass this. And this is a good step so that if the elections go the way we want in November, this is something that helps those elections go the way we want in November, then we can come back and extend and expand on it. So this is one of those times where incrementalism actually does work. Now, on the other side, they are not fans of anything that they might perceive to be as a quote-unquote giveaway to businesses. And I always like to remind people, it's not that cutting a tax or giving adjustments to expensing or otherwise is a quote-unquote giveaway to a business. That's because you don't have a right to that money in the first place. So you're not giving them anything. They're just keeping more of what they created in the first place.
Right, but that's a foreign concept to a lot of elected officials and government accountants who think, you know, a tax cut or a cut in funding, for example, is that we didn't get everything we asked for.
Right?
So yeah, it's a different kind of way of thinking, I guess. All right, is there anything else on this that you want to add before we let you go that you think is important or interesting for people to know?
Well, yeah, the big thing is please, please, please give your members of Congress, both in the House and the Senate, a call and let them know that you support this bill. Because, obviously, it passed out of the House, but there's a good chance it could come back as part of conference committee legislation. So that means if the Senate passes, if they make some changes, the House would have to agree. So we need to make sure that everybody, whether it's the people who voted against it or the people who voted for it, in the House know, and then in the Senate, they know that you want it, because this is critical to our economic livelihood, especially at a time when things are so tough out there.
Phil Bell, the Director of External Affairs at FreedomWorks. Thanks so much for your time, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. That's Phil Bell. And FreedomWorks website is freedomworks.org. As I promised, circling back to Jen Psaki, just like Jen Psaki would do, circling back. This is from MSNBC last night. They were, you may have guessed it, they were giddy over this speech. They were in full squee mode, okay? That's what all the kids say nowadays. Actually, not from nowadays, like maybe 5 years ago. But whatever. Point is, they were really, really happy. This State of the Union speech really spoke to the leftists on MSNBC. Take a listen.
But to read America, because there are people that are frustrated and angry. You just heard it right there from Anthea. There's people that aren't that happy about their lives. And so a move like that, he's not coming from an elite place in Washington.
No.
Saying, you don't really have problems. Look at the data. Yeah, right. He's saying it's okay. You don't feel great. There's lots of things not to feel great about.
It's also, I mean, he spent so many months or years of his.
Okay, hang on a second. Wait a minute. I don't know who this first woman was, but she's saying that Joe Biden totally struck the right tone because he didn't give him stats. He didn't give him all this information, which he has been doing, by the way, and it hasn't been working. So now he's pivoting. And so he's telling him, oh, it's okay if you don't feel good. There are some things that are bad, which is an admission, finally. I guess it's sort of like the border that wasn't a crisis until all of a sudden it had to be a crisis for them to pass the bill, and then it didn't pass, and then it's like now it's a crisis again. Anyway, I just find this to be funny that, like, now he gets credit for acknowledging that things are kind of bad for some people. Because at first they were gaslighting us all and telling us that we just didn't understand how good things were. And he did kind of say that when he said last night, "Hey, get rid of the inflation!" And everybody's like, yeah. But no, he said he made this argument that the inflation is now down to 3% or something like that. And Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is just shaking his head behind him. Because that's not how inflation works. It's compounded. Once you inflate the prices, they never go down. There's never been deflation since the rapid inflation from 3 years ago. So it's all the prices are now just permanently higher. All right, so now here's Jen Psaki.
Presidency, including when I was there, being constrained, right? You know, he went from running against Trump to really trying to be a uniter. That's still part of who he is.
And she got down. Yeah, she got halfway through that sentence and realized, oh my gosh, this isn't the narrative. I'm going to back this up again, okay? Because what she's saying here is that this was so awesome to see that Joe Biden is no longer constrained, but he's still a uniter. Sorry, I mean, yeah, like he's okay. So like he's totally laying into the Republicans, but he's totally a uniter because that's his brand.
Place in Washington, saying you don't really have problems. Look at the data. Yeah, right. He's saying it's okay. You don't feel great. There's lots of things not to feel great about.
It's also, I mean, he spent so many months or years of his presidency, including when I was there, being constrained. Right. You know, he went from running against Trump to really trying to be a uniter. That's still part of who he is. And remember, there was a story a couple weeks or months ago about how he privately talked about Trump, like using all sorts of curse words and things. You sort of saw a hint of that tonight, which is what he really thinks of Trump and the threat. And in a very aggressive way, I thought it was very interesting. Well, while I left, I went on Twitter a little, which is a cesspool sometimes. But like, it's interesting to see how people are reacting. Ari Fleischer, Trump, their whole thing now is that he is angry and speaking too fast and too energized, which, you know, if you're sitting
there. Wait a minute.
I don't understand why that was so funny. What did I miss? He was angry. He did speak too fast. Is it a joke because you thought we couldn't, or you thought that we thought he couldn't speak fast? We know he can speak fast. He becomes less intelligible when he does. But they just found this to be the most hilarious thing. Like, they got nothing.
Wait a second. I thought he was sleepy and tired. So if you're sitting in the White House, that's kind of a win. I mean, that they had to kind of overcome this hurdle of this perception that has been a huge problem. But I think what people.
So there you go. Psaki saying this is a huge win, she thinks, for the White House that he didn't fall asleep while standing at the podium. That's the that was the barometer for success last night. I mean, Way to aim high, I guess.
Saw in that playing back and forth that Rachel mentioned is that's kind of who he is. I mean, he has this funny sense of humor that people don't get to always see. And he does like to kind of play, especially if it's a new member of the staff in a meeting. So I think you kind of saw that a little
bit. It was simply the best tax speech ever given by a Democrat. It's as simple as that.
All right. That's Lawrence O'Donnell, who's an idiot. So this way that he plays with the staffers. Right. We've heard that story, right? Where he quizzes them and he yells at them and people are like, I don't want to go in there. Send the new guy in there. Right. We heard that story. We're aware of how he, quote, plays with staffers. Well, I mean, unless you're saying there's a different way that he's playing with staff. I mean, I've not heard any kind of information. Well, aside from the sniffing of the hair, but I don't know anything other than that. This is the only story I'm aware of. By playing with the staffers, they mean being a jackass, right? Which is that's his brand. Okay, so fine, whatever.
All right, do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay, so what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply. At CarolinaReadiness.com, whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
This from Dennis, who says, based on Biden's recent past performances, I have to agree with the assumption that he might have been subjected to an apothecary who delivered a substance very similar to what was described back in my college days in the late 60s as a diet pill, quote unquote. They sometimes would help me stay up late cramming before an exam. Just spitballing here. Yeah, I don't know why, like, or in the first hour, you know, Mike called, Democrat lawyer, he called in and he was like, oh, you know, you say that he needs, you know, these, that they're giving him some, you know, drugs or whatever to make them alert. Yeah, absolutely. But I believe that about all presidents. So it's not like I'm not assigning any kind of like nefarious new thing to Joe Biden. But it is quite obvious that some days are better than other days for him. To me, at least, that's obvious to me. Let me see here. This is not remember. Oh, so this is from Jan. Not remembering when your son died. It can be an issue of grief. When my stepson died, there are times it feels like it was just a couple of months ago rather than 20 years. I have to stop and think about the dates at a time. That means I do not use his death several times a month as a way to garner political points. Many people will have a hard time remembering the specifics of the dates of the death of someone close. However, the president continually uses the personal tragedies in his life as a way to score political points. It's not so much that he doesn't remember, it's just that he changes it so much that he no longer cares. Caller Kathleen, this is from Bob. He says, caller Kathleen's correct. Old Bidey never has been a very sharp knife, even in the dull drawer of partisan politics. I had a message regarding that, too, here. Russ, who says, everybody is talking about how Biden has or has not declined. He's obviously lost a step or several in the last 10 years, but I've been watching Joe since his 88 campaign. I was assigned to write a paper on his plagiarism and his exit from the campaign. Then I watched the Clarence Thomas confirmation and many other floor speeches and public appearances. The man has never been smart and always has been angry and slimy. I feel like Obama gave him a reset by nominating him, and people don't remember anything before that. But Joe was just like Kamala. He was never in contention for the nomination, was a joke in the party, and only good for a reliable vote and occasional speech. He and Kamala are just the insurance policy against removal of their respective presidents. And then Mark says, Nikki Haley supporters were Democrats and they will be voting for Biden. That's in response to an earlier caller. And then, Pete, please tell us what you really think about Lawrence O'Donnell. This is from Keith, who says, you reckon old Joe's... Okay, I'm not going to talk about whether he's wearing anything under his pants. All right, let me now... let me get to a couple of the sound bites here. How much time I got? Okay, good. I do have enough time here. This is on the border bill. Joe Biden number... Clip number one.
In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen.
Okay, so first off, notice he is slurring some of his words and he's squishing them together. And this is something he has been doing for a while. And no, he has not always been doing it. And no, it has nothing to do with a stutter.
Oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing. That bipartisan bill would hire 1,500 more security agents and officers, 100 more immigration judges, help tackle the backload of 2 million
backload.
Cases.
Backload of cases. Did it again. See, people want to just, because he talked real fast and he was really shouty, they're like, oh, he did fantastic. Look at him. He's so good. He's so articulate. But he wasn't. If you listen to him talk, he's slurring and he's squishing words together. He's not enunciating. He doesn't have false teeth, so it's not like he's losing his dentures while he's talking. This is a muscle motor skills issue.
4,300 more asylum officers and new policies so they can resolve cases in 6 months instead of 6 years now.
Why does it take so long? Why is it taking so long, Joe? Could it be the massive amount of people that are in the system waiting?
What are you against?
All right. So this is an example of him hectoring the crowd, right? Where he says something, you get this reaction from the crowd. And say, oh, what? You don't like that, huh? This mugging for the cameras kind of stuff. Look, I think I'm all for this, actually. I like where this is going now, you know? Because there's no more pretense, okay? So now we have a disintegration of the norms. Thank you, Democrats, for that. You're not going to like these rules when they're applied to you. So disintegration of the norms, a decay of decorum, more yelling, right? More interrupting, that sort of stuff, which means that the president is going to be trying to speak down there, but he's going to be getting yelled at all the time as this proceeds from speech to speech. More and more yelling, can't speak, which means they're going to just mail it in. They're going to take the State of the Union, put it on a postcard or an email, and send it over, and that's it. And then there are no more State of the Union speeches. And I think that's a win. I think that's a win for democracy. So maybe it's Joe Biden who's playing seven-dimensional chess here. He then lamented how Trump derailed the passage of this bill that the conservatives liked, and that's why Joe liked it. You notice how he played like, oh, what the conservatives liked? So are you saying it was a conservative bill? Is that what he's saying? No, it's not what he's saying. He's just using that as a weapon against Republicans. The vast majority, there's only one bill that passed any chamber of the Congress. That was the House Resolution 1 that secured the border. Only one. It didn't even get a vote it did get a vote. It did not get more than, what, eight Republicans to sign on to the bill in the Senate.
To state the obvious, all Americans deserve the freedom to be safe. And America is safer today than when I took office.
This is a different clip. Sorry. I'll finish it out, though. This is where the Gold Star father starts screaming at Biden because his son died in Afghanistan during Biden's withdrawal of out of Afghanistan. And this guy's son was one of the 13 killed at the Abbey Gate.
Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then, through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I might add.
Every American voted against, he might add. See what I mean? This idea that he gave this flawless speech last night is fiction. It is fiction. He did his best he could, and it was better than recent performances. Steve Nkui, whose son Kareem Nkui was killed at the Abbey Gate bombing at the airport in Kabul, he was arrested. He was taken out, handcuffed, cited. They gave him a ticket. As compared to, what was the guy's name? Gutenberg, I think was his name, whose child died in the Parkland, Florida high school shooting. And he interrupted Donald Trump's State of the Union speech. And he was simply escorted out. No ticket. If Joe Biden is truly a unifier, he will make sure that those charges get dropped. Otherwise, it's all just words, to quote Barack Obama.
All right, so maybe you've heard by now, DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to North Carolina, right? Less than a week away. On March 11th, sportsbooks are legal in the Tar Heel State. DraftKings is one of America's top-rated sportsbooks with same-game parlays, money lines, and props. The best features like odds boost and live betting and social betting groups where you can share your bets with friends in real time. That's pretty cool. DraftKings is safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. And it all starts on March 11th. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, do it now, and then you get to place your bets on your favorite sports once it goes live. Remember to use my name, Pete, as a promo code. That is P-E-T-E. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes live on March 11th. And now to do the disclaimer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Eligibility restrictions apply, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.
All right, so here is clip number two on the immigration issue. Joe Biden lamenting how Donald Trump derailed passage of the absolutely awful broken border bill.
I'm told my predecessor called members of Congress in the Senate to demand they block the bill. He feels political win. He viewed it as a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner. Not really.
What? I'd be a winner. Not really. What are... Bang up job, Joe. Look at how mentally acute he is. Oh, this is now Marjorie Taylor Greene shouting out Laken Riley's name. She's the girl that was beaten to death by the illegal alien in Athens, Georgia. She's saying, say his name, because when he was coming in, she gave him a button with her name on it and said, say her name, say her name. And so now he reaches over and he picks up the button.
Laken Riley.
Not Laken Riley. Isn't, I think that's like a coach or something, right? So close, but no. So he still didn't say her name, but he tried. He tried, even though it was like written on the button. He tried.
An innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal.
Uh-oh.
That's right.
Uh-oh.
But how many of thousands of people being killed by illegals?
Okay, so her death doesn't matter because thousands of other people are killed by legals. See, so that's a great counter argument or something. But did you hear the mess up there? He called them illegal. An illegal. And Democrats were not very happy with him for that. But there's a reason why they put this portion of the speech at the very end of the speech. A lot of people stop watching after a little while, so they're hoping a lot of the lefties have gone to bed or gone out to the bars.
To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, people pay these smugglers $8,000 to get across the border because they know if they get by and let into the country, it's 6 to 8 years before they have a hearing.
How'd that happen?
And it's worth it, taking the chance of the $8,000. But
that's your policy.
If it's only 6 weeks.
What?
The idea is it's highly unlikely that people will pay that money and come all that way knowing that they'll be able to be kicked out quickly. Folks.
You can do that now.
I would respectfully suggest my Republican friends owe it to the American people, get this bill done. We need to act now.
Hang on, he's got another slurge coming up. More slurry. Hang on. There's more slurry. Get it, John, now.
And if my predecessor is watching, instead of paying politics...
What?
Paying politics? Pressuring members of Congress to block the bill, join me in telling the Congress to pass it. We can do it together. But that's what he apparently hears, what he will not do. I will not demonize immigrants.
He will not demonize immigrants. And then he had some slurge in there, too. I'm not really sure what he was talking about.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.